Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
What is up, my fellow addicts? Ralph Sutton and Big J Okerson.
Hey.
We are in studio once again. A band that got a real 80s rock and roll vibe called Station. They're from New York City. Comes in, and Big J and I bicker a lot.
We don't, though. You're upset with me.
I'm never upset with you. You are my favorite.
We'll see.
We do the show every Saturday, every Wednesday. I don't know why I mix that up that way for no particular reason. But you go to gasdigitalnetwork.com, use the code SDR. You get 20% off the entire network, access to 22 other shows, every show we've ever done in HD, commercial-free, since the beginning.
We'll see.
You go back and hear the first time you and I did a show where we asked each other about our firsts.
You're all going to see.
Jay and I are just going to one day just start swinging
you'll
at each other.
Never. But you'll see.
Let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
Is there something I could do, not including hitting you, something I could say that you think would spark you to want to hit me?
No.
Nothing, right? Nothing I would ever. I don't know. It's weird. Okay. Do I need to? Oh, yeah. I keep saying this.
Yeah, let me try.
Yeah. Number one, go to podcastmerch.com/SDR. Pick up a t-shirt. Why not? All right. Let's do it right now. The Station episode of
The SDR Show.
This is the intro to the shit show. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. This is a hit show. Show me a tit show. Please, someone fuck the host. It's beat, our beat. It's hookers and blow. It's art, you need to know. The SDR Show. Let's go.
You know, maybe it's time for a new intro, Jay. I don't know.
I like seeing all the adventures you've lived.
I just mean musically and maybe redoing the intro. It's been a while. You know, maybe we do a new one. Maybe we ask our new best friend or my best friend forever, Zach Weil, to make us a new intro. Maybe we ask these guys to make us an intro. I don't know.
Why do you think Zach Weil would agree to do an intro for you?
We're best friends. You were here. He admitted it.
No, he didn't say that at all.
His wife even said it.
No, she did not say any of these things.
Do you want me to show you the Instagram where she said Zach loved hanging out with his BFF?
Yeah, it was a joke.
I don't know.
You know for goddamn sure it was a joke. You're choosing to believe it.
Yeah. That's why I get laid. I believe these women
like
me.
You get confidence in things when some girls go like, no, I guess you're like handsome.
Oh,
in
answer to the bunch of DMs that came out, absolutely I reached out to that girl right after the show.
Who?
Presley. Immediately after.
Did you?
Immediately.
You tried?
100%.
Why?
Because she's fucking hot as shit.
But why'd you think that was going to work out for
I her? Got her phone number. Pow!
So?
Boom! Zowie.
Now what? Start planning your family with this fucking girl who showed us her snatch?
Gorgeous. God damn it. She was so pretty, though.
Dude, totally.
Oh, my God. She was so pretty.
Lord.
Oh, it was
she
hard
was
to
pretty.
Watch.
She had a small labia minoris, fellas, you'd be happy to know.
Yeah. Her ass was phenomenal.
Sure, dude.
But she seemed like a good person.
Yeah, dude.
It is the SDR Show, Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll Show. I am
White Picket
Ralph.
Fence, cam girl inside.
Why not? Hey, she's got an income. Dual income family all of a sudden.
You're a spinster, dude. You're going to be so lonely when you're old.
But, you know, I got like right away I got DMs. Did you reach out? Of course I did. I'm a fucking creep. Of course I did.
It's a weird thing to know and not work on.
It is, as I said, the SDR Show. Sex,
girl, say I'm a bitch. I'm a bitch. I'm like, well, work on that.
Yeah, exactly. Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. We don't mention that enough. Go to podcastmerch.com. Pick up a t-shirt. Why not? I'm going to introduce the guys, and then I want to tell you one other story I think you're going to love because it makes me look stupid, and you love those stories. But
don't you dare.
We have Chris and Patrick from the band Station, and I will say this. They have been on the old radio show of mine, The Tour Bus, back with their first record like 9-10 years ago or something.
A while ago.
Our
yeah.
first record?
The EP, the I think EP. It was. The EP.
The EP.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
But in true
you must
Ralph.
You made a real impression.
You haven't
Ralph.
Aged no, well, a day.
In true Ralph form, I didn't remember it at all.
Mm-hmm.
He reminded me.
Why? Did they not have great asses?
They did not have great asses. Well, they might have great asses.
You are a hump.
I do have the ass of the band. To be fair.
Maybe fair enough.
You think that's why? You think that's not why Ralph chose that seat?
You remember? Just I have such bad memory. Remember when we were on Shiprocked and John Bush from
Anthrax.
Anthrax and Armored Saint walked by and said, "Hey, Ralph. Hey, Jay. Good to see you guys." And I said, "Wow, it's so cool that he would remember us from a year ago." And you said, "He did the show like a month ago." I said, "That's not fucking true." And you're like, "Yeah, yeah." And I looked it up.
I'm also certain he didn't say.
He said, "Ralph,
hey, Jay."
I think he did.
I don't think so.
I think he did. I said, because I remember thinking, I can't believe he remembered.
I don't leave an impression on the musicians on this show.
I don't know. I feel.
The porn stars either leave upset or think it's funny. And then the rock stars, they either have a great time or they end up leaving abruptly. Did you see, by the way, that Sebastian Bach and Aaron Lewis, Sebastian Bach's like coming out against Aaron Lewis?
Oh, no. I did see that.
It's pretty fucking hilarious.
But in what context? Like, for what?
Because I told you, Aaron Lewis is like on some like alt-right movement thing.
Oh, is he?
I didn't tell you this.
No.
When I saw him open for Korn, they started a "Fuck Joe Biden" chant.
Really?
They chant USA. He's wearing a shirt that says "Fauci lied." And I was like,
"Oh,
I was
man.
Texting the Korn guys. I'm like, "Is this a thing every night?" And they were like, "Yeah, it's a thing." So Sebastian Bach, so like, you know,
so out there with that. Yeah.
I always wanted to know the politics of Sebastian Bach.
Yeah,
that's exactly what we're looking for from him.
I'll be honest, I didn't read the article. I just saw the headline, and I think I got all the information I needed.
It's all of it. Sebastian Bach being Sebastian Bach again.
But also, I'm going to say this. It's weird. Just like I think on this show, we don't ever take a stance on any of that shit, because you're going to, by nature, eliminate 50% of your audience, right?
Right. Well, you did in the beginning. You couldn't help yourself. You said you're down with Black Lives Matter, and you're big on Blue Lives Matter.
With like this, a little bit of this, you know. Yeah. But that's funny.
Were the first person to say, "Check George Floyd's toxicology report." And I was like, Ralph, it's in
that
bad
was
taste.
Me. I was big on that.
It's in bad taste.
What does Aaron Lewis's social media feed, like as far as like his reach compared to Sebastian Bach? You know what I mean? Like, who's the one with more social presence? I don't have no idea.
Well, one's performing currently.
Oh, well, Sebastian performs.
Does he?
Yeah. Shannon, can you compare Sebastian Bach and just, I'd say Twitter, not Instagram. What do you think is a fair place to measure one's notoriety?
People to show up.
Twitter or Facebook? I'm going to say, like, if you look at Twitter.
That's it. Yeah. That's really that is true. Yeah. That is so true.
I had already started looking up Instagram, so I'll tell you this first. Sebastian Bach has 390,000.
Uh-huh.
Aaron Lewis has 397,000.
Whoa!
Neck and neck.
Neck and neck.
To be fair, though, Sebastian Bach came out at a time when people weren't jumping on social media.
Right, that's true,
so
too.
I would say although that's more impressive. I did.
Get closer to the mic, by the way. Sorry.
Although Aaron Lewis did say that he'd like to see a recount in Maricopa County.
Did he really say that? I mean, might have. Mm-hmm. I believe it. That's great.
On his followers. Yeah.
That's really cool.
He say he thinks there's some ones that got lost.
It's weird. It's just weird in general to take it. I just say, these days.
You don't want to know the politics of any musician.
I don't want to know the politics. That's right. Unless you're a political band, I get it's different, but
Sebastian Bach wins on Twitter.
Oh,
on
shit.
On Twitter, he has 455,000, and Aaron Lewis has 95,000.
Yeah. I have much more on Instagram than Twitter, because all I do is whatever I post on Instagram goes to Twitter. I don't give a shit about Twitter.
I thought they were going to be closer on Twitter, but it turns out they're so far away.
Maybe his numbers are involving a little bit of monkey business.
Because following is easy. Sorry. That was a deep cut, too. That wasn't even like their main shit. So.
All right, so first I just want to tell you something that happened to me today that you're going to love, because it makes me look stupid, right? A guy reached out to me and said, "Hey, would love to do an interview if you're interested," right? And I looked him up, and he's a radio guy, and I he interviewed a lot of rock bands. I'm like, yeah, I would do a show. Why the fuck not? It seems interesting,
Cousin
right?
Cousin Brucey.
So I don't even remember the guy's name, but I looked him up. He interviewed a lot of the
Eddie
same.
Trunk, you're a nemesis.
Yeah, I'm like that. But we set up the Zoom, and today, 3:00, we're going to do the interview. And we connect on Zoom. We go live. And I go, "All right, man, I'm ready." And he goes, "All right." And I said, "Do you have any questions for me?" He goes, "Oh, I thought you were interviewing me." And it said, you know, he said, "Would love to do an interview." So technically, I took it as he would like
to interview you.
To interview me.
He had nothing to ask you.
He had nothing to ask him. And I was like, such an uncomfortable silence. I'm like, "All right, man, well, good luck. Have a good day." And that was the end of it.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you say, like, "Oh, I thought you were going to interview
me"?
Yeah. "You think I'm here to interview you? Well, bye."
I said, "I don't know what, I don't know anything about you. You guys reached out to me."
You feel like an idiot, dude. You feel so dumb.
I felt so stupid.
You looked like a moron.
Like a total moron.
Damn, dude, without a doubt.
Right, but the email was, would love to do an interview. And I took it as, yeah, sure, I'll interview some good people.
I'll give you a little time in between my busy schedule of being Ralph Sutton.
Yeah, and I was like, let's do it. And then that was it. It was an uncomfortable silence for like a solid 10 seconds. And he goes, all right, let's go.
I got an OnlyFans teen runaway that I'm trying to fuck. You got a lot going on, dude.
I can really,
stop for every interview?
Really stop. Really, it was fucking great. Oh, my God, it made me feel so stupid.
Good for you.
Good. Actually, I wish I was recording it. It would have been great.
Just, you guys having a standoff? That's like you ever see the phony phone calls where they like have two people like call an Asian.
Yeah, they used to do the Chinese restaurant. Yeah.
Yeah, and they just like, get mad at each other.
Yeah, for sure. That's great. It's basically was that. Okay, so let's go into this. These guys, what I like about this band, first of all, you think you've been together, I mean, at least 10 years if you did my show 10 years ago.
We met in 2010.
10, yeah.
September 11th, 2010.
Right, it's a long time ago, so now it's more than 10 years. Very much, obviously, a super, super 80s rock influence, although you guys are way younger than me. Let's start with, where did that come from?
The heart. no, seriously, I think, actually, Chris and I have talked about this a lot, because we look at each other and we're like, where did we come from? Like, by all, I mean, Chris is from Long Island during the golden age of pop punk, and yet he turned out like this.
Yeah, my style of music was very popular during high school for me. that worked out. I think a lot of our influences, though, aren't 80s influences. It's actually our taste in production, and I think that I'd make the joke that when we grew our hair out, that kind of dictated the kind of music we play because it's all thick and everything. Mm. But honestly, like, Pat's a metalhead with like Iron Maiden and stuff like that. I'm more into like the Beatles and Steely Dan. And for some reason, when we get together, it's very 80s centric, 70s centric. And we just like that kind of like big rock sound.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah, there's something, I mean, when we were growing up, I think one of the funny things that is probably different because we are so much younger is that when we were listening to music, we had the advantage, in air quotes, advantage of the internet. And so it was like when stuff was being fed on the radio that we weren't really into, I mean, you know, like it, whatever, I'm sure it's ebbs and flows or whatever, but all of a sudden we had an outlet to discover more and more of like, you know, big production music, you know, older music that unless your parents were really into it, you probably wouldn't have reached. So I remember, like, because I was one of like five kids in my high school that had heard of the band Iron Maiden, let alone listen to them. And when I discovered them,
what years
I was,
were this?
Oh God.
2 years ago.
Yeah, 2 years ago. No, early 2000s. Okay. You know what I mean?
Makes sense.
So, but that's what I mean. Is that like I bought my first Maiden record was Brave New World.
Wow. You know what I mean? Yeah, that was 2000.
2002, I think, actually. Oh, maybe it was 2000.
I think it was 2000.
But I mean, actually, their latest album, I think, when I discovered Iron Maiden was probably Dance of Death. But that was the first record that I remember being like, I heard Iron Maiden somehow, and I went out to Borders. Remember Borders?
Yeah.
And I bought Brave New World.
It's
and
crazy
I put on
that
the Wicker
you would
Man.
Get into Iron Maiden from, I mean, that was like technically their comeback record. That was when people started loving
it. I know. And actually, it was funny because I was almost turned off to them because I love that record, but that's a very advanced Maiden. You know what I mean? If you're like introducing someone to Iron Maiden, you don't go, hey, listen to Brave New World. You put on, you know, literally any other record. But I love the Wicker Man. I love like, you know, Blood Brothers and all that. And then I went back to Borders and I bought Number of the Beast. And I was like, this is my life, you know, this is where I'm going. And
that Dance of Death tour was a funny one. Me and Bill Burr went to go see the tour.
Mm-hmm.
And we both said we liked the drumming and we talked a bunch about, you know, Bill plays drums now. But we were talking about like
I remember you played drums at Skankfest.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Nico from Iron Maiden, like the drummer soulmate. So we're like, let's go see Iron Maiden. They were playing at a theater, like a whatever like the Nokia Theater is now, mm-hmm. I guess, or whatever. Sony
Times
Theater.
Square.
It was the Best Buy for a while, and now it's the Sony Theater. It
might have been Best Buy when we went to this thing. And we got there, and it was canceled. Or maybe in Roseland, actually. Mm-hmm. But it was canceled. Like, night of.
Wow.
And me and Bill Burr sat there. Some of the most fun I've ever had in my life, which is me and him sitting there, the people watching. Because this wasn't like an early cancellation of the day. People were finding out there.
Right, like they just did with Limp Bizkit a couple weeks ago.
Tons of people finding out when they're there. And just, holy shit, man. The people watching of disgruntled. like drunkenly scream, reminiscing the last time they saw Iron Maiden. I was like, I saw him burn it down in Red Bank, New Jersey once.
Did they reschedule? You didn't care at that point. You're not...
They didn't reschedule. I mean, if they did, I don't know.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What I like about these guys, by the way, they bonded over Living Color.
Yeah, that's true.
That's what made them realize they were soulmates.
That's right.
That's true. That was actually going back to the whole conversation of how do we exist? Like, so the first phone call that Chris and I ever had when I had just left a band, Chris had just left a band. And I kind of remember on the phone call, Chris being almost like apprehensive because he was like, you know, yeah, like, you know, we were exchanged videos. You know, we knew that, you know, he could play and he knew that I could sing. And we were talking about, all right, well, we're going to get together and jam. What are we going to do? And he's like, well, I don't know if you know them. They're kind of, you know, but it's this band called Living Color. I'm like, I love Living Color.
It's like a racism check.
They're black.
Yeah, it was a racism check. What if he didn't really like it? He goes, I love Living Color. And he goes, dude, me too. And then he just scratches out like a white supremacy song in his writing. He's like, yeah, no, dude, they rule. Okay. I guess we're not going that direction.
Yeah, but Corey's done the show a bunch of times, and I fucking love that band.
We've opened for them.
They're amazing.
Yeah, it's also funny how...
Very sweet.
Not only they're all nice guys in general, but they're each... unbelievable in what they do, like the best bass player, the best drummer.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I'll never be able to. I've seen them twice, and every time I literally look and I'm like, I will never be able to sing like that. At my best, I will never achieve the level of perfection that he has.
Dancing, dunking, they're winning. They're killing us, Ralph. It's because of dorks like you, Ralph.
I'm ruining it for everyone. I can't jump. By the way, I would never go to your basketball thing that you do.
Why?
Because I'm so terrible.
Stop.
My brother, who's 5'7", destroys me in basketball.
I believe you.
Do I want to be around you and a bunch of comics making fucking fun of me because I can't do anything?
Not many comics. Oh, whatever. Mostly staff here.
I don't want to. And Bobby yeah. will kill me. I don't want to be that person.
Bobby wants you to come so bad now so you can put it on
He
you.
Can dunk on me. He just wants to fucking.
He's never dunked in his life, but he'll dunk that day. Yeah. It's like Woody Harrelson. He's got to put it in the right spot.
I would love to see you, Chris, play basketball. I've never seen you play basketball. Just because, like...
I don't like people seeing me cry in public.
I don't even like...
Well, it is funny. You know what's really fucking... And I miss my long hair every day. I had real long hair for years.
You know you can grow it back.
I know. There's so many bad phases in between, though. I'm on camera, like, the daily.
Yeah, the wings.
Yeah,
the
after daily. This is going to be reverse Princess Leia, so, you know.
I miss it so much, but there is maybe nothing funnier. Like, as cool as long hair is in... cool atmospheres where it matters, like rock and roll or even like dressing up or something. You do some playing sports with long hair, it just never reads cool. When they used to do that celebrity basketball thing for the NBA All-Star game, the best guy out there, he got MVP a few times, was the guy from Wynn.
You're looking at me like I might have an answer for that.
I don't know. It's a rock star.
Oh.
Somebody's a Wynn, whatever, from... Damn it. What's that fucking band? They're Canadian. They're huge.
Rush?
Triumph?
No. It's a newer Nickelback. Band. It's more like that fucking alti rock. Fucking.
Theory of a Dead Man?
No, they're big, big band. God damn it.
From Canada.
You know what I'm talking about? Win. Type in the name Win Band.
W-I-N?
No, W-Y-N-N, I think.
Win.
Wait.
They're a huge band. I saw them. They were the band when I went to SNL. And I can't remember
big.
The name.
Oh.
Now, Steve Wynn keeps coming up. Steve Wynn.
No idea.
The mogul? Fuck. Well, anyway.
That guy.
Steve Wynn, the musician of the band Dream Syndicate?
No.
No. It's Wynn's the first name.
Wynn.
Nope. It's fucking...
I'm sure a fan would
Wynn
know.
Wynn Guardium... No.
Yeah. Wynn Wood. Steve Winwood. Yeah. One face.
Not Nickelback. No, Nickelback never played SNL. I don't know. Does
like
it...
in that world of like... Arctic Monkeys, like that kind of music. Damn it, it's bothering this. It's going to bother me so much.
Snow Patrol? I have fucking no idea.
Vamp for a second. I'll find this in 2 seconds.
All right, so I'll tell you this funny little story. You ready? When I was
Googling, tell me about another woman you harassed.
Well, when I was Googling Patrick to see what I could learn about him, I found out he has the same name as a serial killer. Did you know that?
I did.
Does that ever cause a problem? Because you know, that's why a lot of people put their middle initial in when they're like traveling or something. Like, I'm John H. whatever. Because
actually,
they
know,
differentiate themselves from serial killers.
Funny story. My stepdad
was that serial killer.
Yes, he was a serial killer. Yeah. We come from a long line of serial killers. It's funny too, because my wife is actually a public defender. Mm-hmm. So it's like, oh, you married a serial killer, but like, you know, you're a public defender. But my stepdad he was trying to get on a plane one time, and he's Michael O'Brien. And apparently there was like a terrorist on the terror watch list named Michael O'Brien. So they like literally stopped him at the gate and like, you know, taking him into the back, like, you know, where are you going? Like, you know, they thought he was going to, like, I don't know, blow up the plane or something.
You should
like
have
that.
Done it on Spite. Did you find it? Did you find it?
Arcade Fire.
Arcade Fire. I would have never got that. Not in a million
from
years.
From when?
Shannon, did you find it?
It's his
no,
name.
No. I mean, James is getting frustrated with me for not finding it based on
no,
when.
No, I was saying the first guys. No, I looked up Canadian band.
W-Y-N-N.
Isn't Arcade Fire from France?
No.
No.
But I don't even remember their hits. But anyway, you were saying...
I don't know any of their hits.
So, so I did know that, actually, there was a serial killer named Patrick Kearney.
And you, Jay, you're saying that the guy with Wynn had long hair.
He was the best player out there, but he looks ridiculous.
Yeah, I would think...
he had a long rock star hair.
I think dunking with long hair would look cool. No?
Only if it's in slow motion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why not? It would look awesome.
Nah, that is true.
Flowing hair locks and...
Nah, that's not the right look.
I don't know. What do I know? I just think that would look really fucking badass.
I was like, soccer, you could probably pull off with long
hair. Yeah, all those guys have long hair in soccer.
Yeah, a lot of those guys, but basketball particularly.
Baseball, some guys have long hair. Hockey?
Basketball particularly.
All right, basketball doesn't look cool.
It just doesn't.
It's probably because you're, like, for other sports, like soccer or whatever. Yeah, you're linear, you know what I mean? Like, you're just running, and so your hair is flowing behind you, whereas basketball, it's going up and down as you're jumping, so that's like, why it probably looks
It also very much looks weird when, like, black players have, like, long dreads, and they put them back in a ponytail. It also looks like it's just
weighing
you
down.
That's
also, by the way, because I had long hair most of my life, that's why I'm not good in sports, because it wouldn't look good for me, so that's why I'm not good.
Is that the reason? Sorry you were picked on so much.
I can't, but I don't think I can grow my hair long anymore either. This is as long as it's going to get. I don't.
What'll
think,
happen?
I mean, I'm kind of balding on top a little bit, you know, and I just don't know if it'll ever grow anymore. I mean, I'm an old, also at 51, you look stupid.
You think it'll just stop?
I don't think it's going to get much longer. I don't know. I haven't been cutting it. I just think it's not getting much longer.
I want to grow mine so bad, but.
You still got great hair. Like your full coverage you still have. These guys, well, how old? You guys are in your 30s, I'm guessing, mm-hmm. right? Still got full coverage. I wish I still had full coverage.
Are you going to go bald, you think?
I'm going to go bald, I think. I don't know. So I don't
can't
know.
Wait.
It fucking sucks.
It's going to be hilarious. Think of how aerodynamic you're going to be for your runs, though.
You know, it's funny.
You're
going
to fucking slice through water like a dolphin.
I was reading their bio, and they said when they met, they felt such a synergy that they felt like the theme song Chariots of Fire was playing.
Oh, yeah. That's, yeah.
And that's what we play every time I talk about my beautiful runs, because tomorrow I'm running 6 miles. Before.
Can you imagine anything more exciting to listen to a podcast host talk about his run schedule? What are you doing after that? Are you going to have a light snack?
I'm going to Spain. You know I'm going to Spain tomorrow.
I didn't.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to Spain tomorrow. I'm going to be gone for...
Why? You going to try to get your foreskin back?
I'm going
to
go try and track down that girl. She said she was going to be in Spain.
Oh, yeah?
That's very believable, unfortunately, but no.
It really is.
Yeah, you know, but
you're
remember.
You're a chaser.
I would never do that.
Airplane.
Oh, my God. That's fucking psychopathic. I would never
chase
do that.
Chase an airplane?
You remember?
Stop that plane for love.
You met her 6 years ago, maybe. Remember that girl, the Italian girl, Justina? Do you remember her? We met at a coffee shop. The one time that I did a favor for you, like that huge favor for you that we brought.
Oh, you brought me money.
Yeah.
Yeah,
remember
there
was a blonde chick with me?
Yes, okay,
that. That girl. I've known her for 6-7 years. We take one trip together a year. That's what we do for the last 6-7 years.
And you just fuck on the trip?
Yeah, that's it.
What if she has her period on the trip?
She better not, or she is paying for her own flight home.
Boom. But what legitimately, if she happens to have it for this trip?
It hasn't happened yet, so maybe she
but
times
what
it.
If?
She can blow me the whole time? I don't care.
Can she? Well, you do her the honor?
I'm a gentleman.
Local, isn't that nice?
I'm a gentleman.
Shannon, isn't that nice? Ralph will do her the honor.
Look,
let her blow.
Jay, she has 3 holes. I'm a gentleman. She can pick which one of the other two.
You're a bad person.
I'm a gentleman.
You're making the station very uncomfortable. Your bullshit is making our new friends feel weird.
Hey, they're my friends for 11 years, just like Zach Wilde.
Because he totally remembered the last time we were here.
Oh, man. Remember?
Also, you studied opera. That's cool.
Yeah, I did. I did.
Can you do opera notes? Can you do it? Can you hit it?
Something like that.
That's right? Pretty good.
Yeah, thanks. That was great. That was hot chick energy. He did it and he was like, or whatever.
Wow. That's fucking, that was solid. That you could hear everywhere.
Thank you.
Did you move a little?
I felt it. It resonated.
I don't know.
The glass almost broke.
Did you move a little?
I mean, my ding dong?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe a little.
I never got to Jim Gillette level of breaking the glass though.
See, look at them mentioning 80s obscure bands. Let's see if Jay knows what band that's from. Go.
Manowar?
No.
Damn, that was a good guess.
It was a good guess, though.
Nitro. That was a pretty good guess.
Yeah. Nitro.
Wow.
Hot, wet, dripping with sweat. That was the name of their band. Their second record.
Their second record, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did you fuck a 62-year-old to that?
No, I was probably 24 when that came
What's
out.
The oldest you'd bang now?
Would I?
Yeah.
Well, it goes on hot level. I saw a 50-year-old that I would gladly have sex with.
Would you really? Gladly?
Yeah, gladly.
Oh, carve out the time. Yeah.
You asked a question, I answered, and now you're going to shit on me?
I hate your answers.
What was wrong with my answer?
I don't know.
What would you have accepted?
That I totally would have. I don't know. So there's no humility.
What's the oldest you would have sex with? And I said, I saw a 50-year-old that I would have sex with. Why is that
That's
a bad
how
answer?
Said.
How did I... Sorry if I...
It was more of a tone of like, you'd allow her to.
This is why all my... Your fucking fans hate me, because of the way you treat me on this show.
No, none of my fans listen to this.
That's because you never talk about it. You piece of shit.
I plug it on everything.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
and also, I've been plugging it day of on Bonfire.
Have you?
Yeah.
Look at you.
Mm-hmm.
What about your social media gurus? They never post our goddamn thumbnail.
They're not fans.
You know what's funny, by the way? They used to post a lot more when I was also their client. Once I stopped using them, they stopped posting for that.
Dude, you are boring the fuck out of station. He's thinking about other things. He just thought about going back in opera for a little bit. He was ahead. He's like, I really can't still hit those
I'm
notes.
Trying to remember the rest of the words.
Son of a bitch. Look at that.
What is that opera?
He was
by
thinking
the way?
In Italian you were boring him so bad.
Vesti la Giuba. It's the Pavarotti, you know, that's like the main.
That's the one.
That's like
knows.
Where everything is in slow motion and yeah. Like, you know, the dog is running through like, you know, a bag of Doritos or
something. You know
something
what you're seeing in Italian?
Culture. He doesn't know Valar.
Yeah, no, it's it's like Laugh at the Clown, basically. Okay. He's putting on makeup.
They're talking about you, Jay.
Real nice. Nice way to talk about friends. I don't even know who you are anymore.
Yeah, that's fair enough, fair enough.
Hey, everybody, real quick, let's talk about one of our amazing longtime sponsors over here at the SDR show, and that is YoKratom.com, home of the $60 kilo. Man, I've talked to people recently who don't know what Kratom is. And then I told them you can buy it in a kilo. They said, don't tell me another word. I want it.
You know, it's funny. We
people
just
like moving weight.
We released the newest episode of the Gash Journals that we put out. And there's Kratom in the Gash Journal. And people are like, oh, is that where did Shannon spend $60 for that kilo?
Yeah, she's snorting it.
Go to YoKratom.com.
Shannon's been melting it down and booting it.
Shannon, you ever just do it sans the water? I know I got shit on last time for calling it a beverage, but...
It's not a beverage. It's a powder or a pill. Listen, Yo Kratom is the best. The best in the biz. And they go from the biggest sellers of Kratom nationwide, and they let you buy from them directly at wholesale prices. Pretty amazing. $60 for a kilo, and you can see you bought a kilo of something.
Yeah, and then just stick your pinky in and just taste it.
I opened it with a switchblade. Yeah. And then tell you, we had split that up. I'm telling you. We could break it down. Baby laxative. If this is the last time, if you're only currently a fan of Kratom, if not, walk away from this. But if you are rad, go to YoKratom.com and get yourself a $60 kilo. Walk around with it.
Cool people only. Go to YoKratom.com.
Cops. All right, let's get back into it.
Okay, a couple other things I read that was cool. He was in an all chick band.
No, he wasn't.
Yeah,
Jesus,
he was.
Are you? Where the hell did you?
You don't
find
worry about
that?
Where I find
but
my
he
shit.
He wasn't though.
Well, he was the only dude.
That's
everyone else was a chick.
There we go.
Amazing that you know that. That is some deep research. I'm like want to make my Facebook fucking private right now.
He's got his people scouring.
No, that's crazy. Yeah, that's,
fuck me.
That is so true.
Him nervous.
No, I'm genuinely impressed. I cannot believe that you know that.
You're welcome, everybody.
Because no, when I was in high school, I was so my first instrument that I ever like took lessons on. I was a drummer. So I was the drummer in a band with four chicks, and we had two rehearsals. After the first rehearsal, three of the chicks kicked out one of the chicks. and the second rehearsal, we played like a Blink-182 song or something, like maybe three times. One of the girls brought her boyfriend and they like just were making out in the corner the entire time. And that was it. That was the end of the...
Wouldn't it be amazing if that was wrong and it was actually just someone at a station show and we just all had our backs to the audience at the time, and it was like, that's what it is, you know?
And also what's cool, speaking of which, is that their bass player was a fan, went to some station shows, and then became a fucking bass player for the band.
First bass player,
yeah. First bass
original
player.
Bass player.
Mm-hmm. Right. Original bass player. That was really cool. That was, God, that was so long ago. But that was, yeah, that was, because our first show we ever did, it
you
was
guys
me
play
and Chris.
You guys a bass player?
No,
we had to hire out the entire band.
Yeah,
we basically couldn't find anybody.
Oh, okay, so you guys just had day players.
It was just us, yeah. And then we basically built the airplane as we started flying it.
Yeah.
Wow, that's got to be... How much rehearsal do you get with, like, day players?
Well, we worked with some really good musicians.
We worked with, we did work with pros, and we had some pretty good rehearsals, but I do feel bad because Mike, he played the third gig that we ever played because the first two gigs we had, you know, hired out guys. Mike shows up, and we asked him to learn, like, what? Like, 20,
like 20 songs? Yeah.
In like a
in like
week.
2 days.
That always fucking amazes
all
the
originals.
Shit out of me.
It's just 100%
originals.
Crazy.
All originals, yeah.
Oh, yeah. All originals.
Yeah, but when you write songs all in the same key, it's easier.
But so, it's also I just remember watching, even on Shiprocked, when bands would just like be on stage and they'd be winging it together and they just figure it out. It's fucking crazy to me.
You know how, like, when you're in a long term relationship, you finish each other's sentences?
I don't know anything about that because I've never been in one.
Well, in theory, in long term relationships, you get to that point. Uh-huh. It's like that with the band, though. Once you're like with musicians in a community like that, you get to a point where you can actually translate things a lot faster and perform together.
Because, you know, my ex co-host for Tour Bus, Melissa, sure. she hosted. Why? What did you say?
I thought we finished those sentences. I was trying to ask if we had a bond.
We don't. You've proven we don't.
We don't.
This entire
time.
And then I. Nothing.
And I went on Facebook to
try
and meet
a girl, try to meet a chick. No, so she came on Shiprock with me. I don't know if you were on that year, the first time I brought her. I'm not sure. I always get those days confused. But she went up to jam with a band that she didn't know at all, and they just started like making shit up. Like, oh, you go here and I'll go there, and it just was fucking seamless.
What does she play?
She sings. She's an incredible singer and piano player. Phenomenal. Okay. Piano player.
I'm not gonna lie, I'm still hung up on the fact that you knew that thing about me and the drummer with the four chicks. Like, I cannot genuinely believe. I think I've told, aside from like when it actually happened, I don't even remember ever saying
it's
that.
It's on
in
the
interview.
Internet, so it's real.
That's
also that birthmark looks like Trinidad Tobago by your dick. Also,
yes,
he's talking about that. He said that might freak you out, though.
I've had that removed, didn't think the
girl thing was gonna hit you that hard.
Also, I love this story. So their first EP, and I remembered this from the show. It's not true. I'm lying. I read it online.
How dare you?
Michael Wagner, who produced the EP, who's like one of these legendary dudes, like worked with everybody from Motley and Alice Cooper and whatnot. Mm-hmm. You guys just reached out to him and said, hey, you want to produce our record? That's fucking crazy.
Well, what happened was we were actually going to work with another producer, and that fell through because of scheduling. So Pat and I basically sat down and we were like...
We made a wish list. Like, if God rained down all the money that we could just pick whomever we wanted, who would want to work with. And so we had like a superstar list of producers from albums that we loved. Michael Wagner was one of them.
Yeah. Roy Thomas Baker.
Yeah. Roy Thomas Baker actually did get back to us too.
Yeah. It was great. And so Michael was in Tennessee, in Nashville, and we went down there for what, like 3 weeks? And
two
we recorded. It was amazing.
Yeah,
it was absolutely amazing.
Jay, do comics ever reach out to you that you don't know and ask you to help with shit? Is that a thing that happens or never?
Not me. Yeah, no, it does happen for sure.
It does. I'm just
it happens
curious.
To people. I'm sure I've been. I mean, like working on a project.
Yeah,
something?
Like just out of nowhere, like you reach out to like a holy, like, oh boy, I would love Jay Oakerson to work with me on this.
Yeah, well,
TV
that's what
show.
The worst I do is.
Yeah, but
that's a production company coming to me with an idea.
Yeah, but that's different. I'm saying like a comic reaching out to a comic they don't know and saying, "Would you want to write a joke with me?" I don't know. I mean, write a set with me or write a pilot with me.
No,
you know, I
just like off just work offers.
Yeah, it's different. I don't know. Just it seems like it's a common thing in the music industry. I've heard this story.
You dragged me down with your shit analogy.
No, just because it's heard about it a few times, even on this show, where they just reached out to someone randomly and said, "Hey, you want to sing on this record? You want to play guitar on this record?" And they just say, "Yeah, fine, fuck it, I'll do it." I don't think it would happen that way. I don't know why. I think it's I can't figure out why the analogy is different, but it just wouldn't do it.
Well, I think also like a lot of musicians are looking for investment, so. When we reached out to Michael, I think he heard the style of music and he was like, I like this. This is going to be a pleasurable time for me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it makes sense to work together.
And speaking of that, by the way, because it's so 80s, it's such an 80s vibe, mm-hmm. right? Did you have a hard time finding players that would want to play like the guys that are in your band now or even your friends and your family because it's so pitching to an older crowd? Was it harder to find people that would want to be on board with it?
No, our issue is not...
Other than, like, obviously you play Rocklahoma, you play all the places where you're going to go over huge...
Right, right.
...because of the sound. Is it harder to carve out that audience?
Our experience has been that when people encounter us, they like the style of music. It's like you've been to a bar, it's late. If Living on a Prayer comes on, it doesn't matter what age the person is, they love it.
Right.
So it's the same thing with us. Our issue has always been trying to like sneak into the channels to actually introduce our music to those people.
Yeah,
you know, I think for a really long time, the issue was that, I want to say issue in air quotes, but I love this phrase because we didn't even come up with this. One of our friends came up with this, but like there was a point in time when we were first starting where everyone was trying to out Nikki Sixx themselves.
Yeah.
And we always put a very strong focus, not on like not on the clothes, but like the music, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, we have long hair, but like we're like, yeah, we want to write good songs. We want to have good production. Like that was like first and foremost above everything else. The problem was that, like, you know, we would show up to those type of glammy sort of situations and people would be like, oh, they're not even trying. Like, almost like we're lazy.
The first time we went to Rocklahoma, this was the first major festival we ever played. We were so excited. We get there and, you know, we have long hair, but we don't do makeup, no spandex, nothing like that. So we got to the festival grounds before while the bands are just getting there and, like, all the bands are just dressed up like that, you know, mm-hmm. like the hair is all big and makeup. And we were terrified because we were like, people are going to think we're lazy. And it actually worked in our favor because it's who we are. It's just us. But
well, I mean, you could argue Tesla never did that either. So that's like,
yeah, I mean, that's kind of fair. I think that was kind of like for us, that was sort of our path that we wanted to carve out where we, you know, we recognize that a lot of bands when they, especially when they're starting off or whatever, that some don't have the mindset of the music. They're like, I want to skip to the end. You know, mm-hmm. I want to get to the end of the road. I don't want to do all the things that actually allows you to be there. So we would end up with people that'd be like, oh yeah, like, you know, we have the clothes, the look, you know, this, that, and the other thing. And then they would start playing their music and it'd be very generic or it would be, you know, it just wasn't a high caliber. And we were like, I'd rather do the opposite. I'd rather have, you know, like to Chris's point about Living on a Prayer. You know what I mean? Like Living on a Prayer, everybody knows that song, and Bathroom Wall, probably nobody knows.
You know what's funny about Living? When I used to work at DHA, the old rock station the show was on, hair metal, when they asked you type of music you like, mm-hmm. hair metal and hair rock would always, people would say the worst, like they hate the least, but the most recognized song that they liked the most was always Living on a Prayer.
Yeah.
So like, people thought they hated hair metal, but they actually like hair metal.
Well, I was gonna say, there's got to be a difficulty to be like pigeonholed to like a sound of an era that isn't now. Yeah. I know that was I just know that was a big hurdle, just being behind the scenes with the ZO2 guys. Mm-hmm. That was big things. Everyone would say it's like, oh, it's like 80s garage rock. So that no one really saw it outside of being in very small venues.
Well, I give you these guys credit because the new record with Perspective, you are expanding a little bit. Like there's that song, I think it's Spanish Steps, that does not feel like an 80s rock song at all. It has a little funky vibe to it.
Yeah.
So you're trying now, even though your heart is in that vibe of like some of those songs, if you told me just a band I never heard of from 87, I would believe you. But some of them is obviously, oh, this is not that.
Our emphasis has always been that we don't sound like anyone else. We might sound like a time period and mm-hmm. have those elements sneak into the music, but it's us doing that. So we try to make sure that there's this thing where people have literally said to us, I didn't want to like you, but I did.
Yeah, that was, we've it's gotten like, more than one review.
I
yeah.
get all the time, I didn't want to like you, and I don't. That happens well, to me all the time.
That happens too.
You yeah, just made me know true. That my radar is on point.
But the thing is, though, is that when people say that to us, like, and they, you know, they don't mean it as any kind of anything other than a compliment, but like, when they say that, it's really speaking to the fact that if you like wrote it down, it's like 80s inspired rock band. Most people would look at it and be like, ugh.
Yeah, no, thank you.
But then they hear it and they're like, actually, this is fun and happy and whatever. And I think the fact that our music is not focused on like drugs and sex and stuff like that, it's not that stereotypical cliche mm-hmm. that a lot of people go to, even though they're probably wrong. They just go to that in their head.
I'll give an example. I thought I was going to fucking hate Kim Kardashian on SNL this weekend. She did a pretty good job.
actually did. I watched that.
I thought she... They gave her good material.
They gave her good. What that means is, you
she
know,
she did. She read
horribly.
She just no. She's read everything. Yeah. She was like, she never like.
But what I mean by that is, she was okay to make fun of everything. Mm-hmm. Where you're sure every. I mean, every.
I can't
single,
believe she did that monologue.
Yeah, it was great. The fact that she said what she said.
Yeah, I knew about that monologue before it was being said, and right. I was like, damn, really?
That's great. She fucking, that was amazing. I don't care that she didn't do it well, as far as like, you know,
timing.
Yes, she read everything. It was very obvious that she was reading. The fact that she allowed those things to come out was brilliant.
Yeah.
No, it made me like her. I've never had any feeling towards her, but I liked that she was able to do that.
Yeah, I'm like, whatever about the stupid Kardashians.
I've never seen an episode. I have no feelings towards her, but I expected to hate it.
Why? Because she's over 30?
Yes. That's why I can't even see our producer anymore. I look over there, I see an empty chair.
Yuck.
That's funny.
Hey there, responsible adults. Are you over the age of 21 and living in the states where Delta 8 is legal?
If you're pretty awesome, you do, yes.
Want to get high?
Yes.
Want to get really high?
Oh, yes.
Want to get really super duper legally high?
Fuck yes, Daddy. You're talking to me now.
Well, it's time to go to
your I'm
Delta.
Awake, you fuck. Preach the word. You've already made the sale.
I got your attention. Now it's time to go to YoDelta.com. You can stock up on high-quality lab-tested Delta 8.
You'd better to have more and not need it than to need it and not have
it's
it.
The words I live by when it comes to the ladies.
True that. That's why you always keep one in a box in the foot of your bed.
You can go get vapes. Go get gummies.
Yum.
If you're over the age of 21 and living in a majority of the states where this is legal, go to YoDelta.com. Stock up on everybody's favorite.
Yes.
Delta 8.
Found in hemp.
What is Delta 8?
Oh, it's right there in the hemp. These idiots had no idea it was sitting there.
It's been in the hemp the whole time.
It's been sitting there. They've been throwing out Delta 8 for years, these idiots. Now we found it. Morons that they are. And nobody knows how to classify it. So we can sell it. On podcast. Yeah,
they may classify it one day, so you better stock the fuck up.
Get it while the getting's good.
YoDelta.com. Use the promo code GAS. Get 25% off your entire order.
Dope YoDelta. Deal.
What'd you say?
That's a dope deal.
Oh, dope deal.
Get it? It's a dope deal.
Go to
I'll be here all week.
Delta.com.
Nice.
Let's get back into it. Get super duper high. All right, so you guys are going to do a song live, right?
Yeah.
All right, the album is Perspective. By the way, you're playing Arlene's Grocery right around the corner, right?
Yes.
On the 22nd.
Yes.
And we were talking about this out there. It's got to be murder right now. COVID testing. You have to get a test every time you fly, Jay, or no?
No, but attendance has been hit a bit because of the places where you have to show, like, vaccines. Some people
right.
just...
It sucks, well, right? So you guys get closer City. To each other, please.
Yeah. Fans
and,
of my
and Jay, point... Because you don't do backup vocals, right? It's just going to be
yeah,
to
I'm
the
just
guitar.
Gonna, like, the guitar.
So aim the mic, Jay, at that, and I'll do a little video from here.
I'm not on the thing anymore.
You're not on the who?
Hold on, just one second.
I can see myself on the thing. I'm like... Yeah.
No, look, exactly. That's a good lead singer, by the way, Jay. The second he was off camera, he got annoyed. He's like, I'm not on the camera anymore. What the fuck?
Yeah.
What the fuck? You had to move a microphone. So
yeah, can you guys scoot a little closer towards Ralph's
side? Both of you go this way a little bit. I'm going to
creep him out.
Oh, Jay, you're videotaping. I don't need to do it. Even better.
I am stuck on something.
Is this going to be one from Perspective?
Yes.
Yep.
This is the first one from Perspective.
This is our, it's our second single.
Right, Bobby wore his sweatpants.
You yeah, it's the first song off the record. It's the second single that we released.
That's where you could see him grow. Oh, yeah. He wears sweats.
Are they sweats? No, they're like jeans.
They're not jeans.
Oh, I'm like so pants. Sorry. You think Bobby's dick's so small you couldn't see a boner in those. Real nice, Ralph.
That's what, that's what you got. That's what you got from Are These Sweats?
There's gonna be a mutiny here, dude.
This, by the way, all of this is why all the Legion fans hate me, because of you.
There's no way that's true. I think you're the best.
You hide it so well.
I have a lot of opinions.
Yeah, you really.
I have a lot of concerns about your lifestyle.
All right.
Presley disagrees.
Oh my God, we don't know any songs.
Presley, guys, for the record, is a whore.
Stop it! She's my future girl.
All right.
You guys ready to go?
Yeah, man.
All right, Shannon, mute our mics, please, because I don't have a mute button in front of me.
Is it plugged in? Okay, so plug it in.
Enjoyed the fuck out of that. Slide back towards me and slide back over there, please.
Bobby got a boner.
Bobby got a boner, everybody. I saw it this time. God damn it.
And Shannon's going through her second pair of jeans today.
The Bandit Station, the new album is Perspective. They're playing Arlene's Grocery October 22nd, which is right around the corner. That video and your videos in general, there's a lot of production value there.
Fuck this dude right here, Chris.
It's really well done.
Gosh, I mean, every single video has an amazing story, but I got to tell you, like, that's thank God for every band needs a Chris Lane.
Are you into like, are you into like editing and all that kind of stuff?
No, not editing, but like conceptually, like of that is I can't even remotely take credit. If I can take credit for one, I can probably say that I helped with the very first music video because I did find the guy. For everything.
But in general, though, it looks like super high-end production, well-put-together videos. Like, you don't really see that.
Thank you.
Most of your stuff, I may be wrong here, but most of you guys have been managing yourselves for a long time. I don't know where you are now.
We do everything ourselves. We have a manager, but yeah, we're completely independent. So we have to do everything ourselves,
And the fact that you guys are got on M3 and got on Rocklahoma and getting all these, and I know you're playing with Kix and you play with a lot of the 80s rock bands. You're doing most of that yourselves? Is that what's happening? Or
yeah, we have an agent who we work with who gets us things like the Kix stuff. But you know,
is that,
I mean,
wait, is it fuck? What's his name? Shit, I forgot his name right now. Was
the agent?
Yeah,
Sullivan.
Sullivan, yeah, of course. I know Sullivan forever. Sullivan Biggs, right? Yeah, God damn it, I knew it.
But you know, it's just the fact that we started out touring 80 shows in the first year. You know what I mean? Like we work a lot, so we're always working on this.
Would you, like, have you ever, because most of the tours I've seen you guys looped in with are the 80s rock bands, have you toured with any bands that are more modern rock bands?
We actually mostly don't tour with bands. We usually, unfortunately, headline our tours, which kind of sucks because we end up playing for rooms that are, you know, 200 to 500 instead of opening for a band that's like 1,000 to 2,000.
Right.
So we were talking about Kix earlier. Like, we're going to play with Kix two nights in... Leesburg, Virginia, in November. Like, those are one-offs.
But
that will just
the problem,
kinda, you
know, and I'm just, you know, hypothesizing. The problem with 80s rock fans, they'll come watch a show. They don't buy new music, really. They don't even buy new music from the bands they love. The greatest thing would be to get you guys on, not that I'm your manager, but on a tour with newer music, because I think, like you said, when people see you live, they're like, oh, I kind of dig those songs, and they would seek you out. But the 80s rock fans... they're still putting on that first Kix record, and they're not going to buy the new Kix record. So,
actually, we've been very lucky that those fans have embraced us. So our business model of selling physical music to older fans works.
Oh, good.
And then when we encounter younger fans, it's going to streaming. So it's kind of we try to do both ends, you know.
And I'm sure, though, I don't know if you try, there's that, I always use the term, because when Papa Roach was here, they told us that about gaming the playlist. Like, once you get onto some certain playlists that are not in your genre, you can start pilfering fans from those lists.
We've never been on a major Spotify curated playlist. So, I mean, you know, we're very fortunate to have the fan base.
But if anyone's listening.
Yeah, right. But yeah, it's true. We have such a receptive audience, so like they'll help us in every way. So our Spotify numbers are good, not helped by Spotify, you know.
Right, that's pretty wild. All right, Jay, we're going to do this because there's two of them. They both have to do the first. We'll do the plugs and we'll wrap this bitch up. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
The first time ever I saw concert, did drugs, had sex.
The name of the show is the SDR Show, Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll Show. Jay looks like he wants to kill me for some reason. Why is that?
I'm just confused. You flipped me off because you knew Sullivan Biggs. I didn't challenge that. I don't know who Sullivan Biggs is.
I'm just being an idiot. I don't know why. I felt like you were being very confrontational earlier, and I was just getting you back.
Didn't feel confrontational.
I don't know. It felt confrontational to me. Did you guys feel
Bobby left?
I feel very good from this side.
Bobby left the room. He got
uncomfortable.
I don't know. I'm sweating
maybe
on my side.
Maybe because you were staring at his boner for the whole fucking time.
Bobby hates when daddy and daddy fight.
Why don't you give his fucking...
If we were my two dads, I'd be Paul Reiser. You'd be Greg Evigan.
Why don't you give his impressive cock a little bit of breathing room? Instead of pointing it out for everybody.
There's plenty of room on the inside of my cheeks. What?
Okay, so the name of the show is the SDR Show, Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll Show. We ask every guest this since the dawn of time, your first experience with all three. We start with rock and roll, and we mean the first concert you went to, ideally on your own volition. And hopefully something we're going to know.
Oh, well, honey, you know, it's actually, I don't know of my own volition. That's a good twist to it. And I don't know if I know the answer to that because I thought, I'll tell you my first concert ever was. I saw the band Yes.
That's good.
With my mom. It was my mom actually won concert tickets and took me to go see Yes, and it was it's so funny because I was probably like I was 12, I want to say.
Was a single mom?
Yeah, my parents split up, and so it was me and my mom, and took you know, she won the
did you pick that up because she was a fan of Yes?
No, I just did things with my mom that you probably would have done with a husband.
Makes sense.
If
makes
my
sense.
Mom and dad were together.
But it was funny because we, you know, it was such a unique experience because, you know, you're at a rock concert and like obviously a rock concert is in of itself like its own experience. But I do kind of remember it was sort of unique in the sense that like I knew none of the songs at the time. Yeah. It was like... Because the only
and
song
those
I
are
probably
long
I was just gonna say this song is long.
No, the only song I probably knew by Yes when I saw them was "Owner of a Lonely Heart," yeah. And they didn't even play it because this
really?
Is actually because you know why it was the classic lineup is Rick Wakeman, Steve Howe, John Anderson, Chris Squire, Bill Bluford, like every like literally classic Yes, and "Owner of a Lonely Heart" wasn't part of that, yeah. So it kind of made sense. But that yeah, that was the thing is I do kind of also remember thinking. This is a really long song. Did they switch songs at me or something?
Did you dig it or did you not dig it?
I really dug it. It was just, it was more of the experience rather than like, they played my favorite song.
Yeah.
Was, like the whole aesthetic
energy.
Was like, oh my gosh, this is
were
cool.
You into performing music yet at that point? Or you,
oh, yeah, yeah,
you were
yeah.
A drummer early. Was that already doing that or no?
I was already doing that. I mean, that's the thing is that I've been singing my whole life. Like, I wouldn't necessarily taking lessons, but I was, like, part of choruses and things like, you know, in middle school and high school. So I was into performing. I wasn't necessarily into performing in a rock band, but I was... like it was part of the whole experience where I was like, oh my gosh, like this is so cool. And he's singing, you know, like that kind of thing.
And Chris, do you remember your first concert?
First concert I ever went to on my own that I actually sought out was Kip Winger playing acoustic at Don Hill's.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
I was there.
It was definitely you and I and like four other people.
Yeah, I was fucking there. I was there. I mean, how many times could you possibly play Don Hill's?
Yeah.
Acoustic.
I saw him six or seven times on that tour.
Me too. He's played
The Chance,
BB Kings.
Loft. Right.
Yeah, I saw that one, and I saw the one at Don Hill.
Mm-hmm. And he went upstate to the Poughkeepsie to the Loft, and I saw him somewhere in Maryland. I was like stalking him basically for like
and
2 weeks.
And we opened for him actually at one point. Remember in Indiana?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, he did the show not that long ago. Jay wasn't on that episode, but I
he
always
did.
Feel that. Huh?
He did.
Yeah. I just feel that people don't realize how fucking talented he is.
Yeah.
The dude wrote a symphony and got an award for it.
Like, he was nominated for a Grammy.
Yeah, for a Grammy. I think he did. Did he win or he just nominated? He might
he was
have
just
won.
No, he didn't win.
But I mean, it's.
I was rooting for him.
Thank God 17 is legal in most states, I guess.
Yeah, or else he would have had problems.
Winger is the dream theater of 80s hard rock.
But yeah, he just is. He gets it. Beavis and Butthead fucked him up because he is a fucking talented dude. It's crazy. But that's funny that was your first concert. How old were you?
Well, it was my first year at college, so I was 17.
Well, hey, there you go. So. He's singing about you, maybe.
There you go.
And now the first drug you ever did.
Honestly, I'm so lame. I don't do drugs.
Yeah, that's something the band doesn't really do. We don't... Yeah.
I think that's more because you're younger. It's the culture of today. Although I can't speak for everyone here. Fucking
never tried anything.
No?
No.
Not really.
I haven't ever even smoked a cigarette.
Whoa. No one in the band either?
I have like smoked like a cigarette, but I've not like maybe a drag.
Yeah, Tony used to smoke. Our drummer used
to. Yeah, our drummer
like,
used
actually
to smoke.
Smoke
yeah.
But,
wow.
But aside from that, no, we just never was really into.
You both
it. I think
drink a little bit, and that's about it.
I drink a little bit. I enjoy a drink every once in a while, but it's funny. I've thought about this a lot because when I was younger and I was in high school, like that was sort of the drug culture. That really turned me off to it was actually probably more akin to like the earliest 2000s, like pop punk kids, you know, that were like getting drunk and wasted and drinking at those types of shows. And it just wasn't really me. And I never really, maybe there's like an association or something with that at this point, but it
just really didn't like high school.
I just also really didn't like high school, but like, that was what I mean. It's like, I never really got to a point where I was like, I experimented with it. I just never found it interesting.
Jay, were you popular in high school?
No.
Did you have a crew?
Mm-hmm.
And they were you, what if you had to put your clique into a definition, were you the dirtbags, the jocks, the like what would you say?
Honestly, we're just sort of our own thing. Mostly pretty good kids.
Mm-hmm. Where'd you grow up?
Philadelphia. But like we like play basketball after school and then play video games at night. You know what I mean? Like, and then we got to the age where it was like, then we hoped for girls, didn't really work out a ton.
Any of your high school friends you're still friends with today?
Yeah.
A bunch?
Yeah. But not like tight, like see each other at any kind of time. Obviously, I live up here now for 20 some years. But like, yeah, I still talk to
a bunch.
That's cool. Like two.
Any of them like become successful or do well, or are you the guy in the group that did the best?
One, the person who, when you do something, I think you guys can, Ralph, you'll never understand this, but you guys will get this.
No, this is going to be something to show
you. When you do something, when you're trying to do something that's like very risky with your life, young particularly.
Me, I just try to have sex with a fucking porn star. That's not risky.
Yeah, yeah, but you're 71 years old. No, when you're young and you do something kind of like out there and you go, I'm going to have to put a lot of energy and effort into this. A lot of your friends aren't interested in the ride either. They don't really want to show up for an empty comedy show or an empty rock show where they're the only ones there. They almost sort of feel bad for you, which you feel that vibe makes you feel lame about what you're trying to do.
I'll tell you what, I can relate to this, and I'll tell you why. Because when I was in high school, I was in, aside from that, the one band, I was in another band that... it was a, basically a cover band. It was kind of where I dipped my toes into singing rock music. And it's so funny because I think about playing shows in New York and in Connecticut, it was so harsh where they would actually, a lot of venues, like not just one or two places, a lot of venues, if you didn't show up with a certain amount of money from tickets sold, you didn't play.
Yeah, that was a big thing, pay to play.
Yeah, basically. Pay to play. It was insane. And so, like, I remember, like, playing our first show in New York even, and it was obviously, like, years later, but, and, you know, we played a couple of shows, and then, you know, you always play a couple of empty rooms, and I do remember a couple times thinking, I can't believe they're letting us play. Like, there's something in the back of my head that was always just kind of like,
do you know what's awesome?
I remember being like literally, I remember one time in high school, I showed up, I was like three tickets short, and I had to like ask our guitar player's dad for like $30 or something like that, just so we could play the show.
Do you know there's a clip that I want Shannon to bring up to show these guys? Actually, it's great. It's as a performer, It's music too. It's not even comedy for me, but like I just dig this because there was, you do eventually, when you realize you're supposed to be doing more is when some of this becomes like the business of entertainment becomes soul crushing. In the beginning, when you're like, you can't believe they're asking you and giving me $25 to go to DC and I get to do 15 minutes on stage, you'll give me 25, like the naive happiness of that because you can't even believe, you're like, oh, well, this is like the first
you
step. I didn't
pay
know that.
Me?
Well, but almost just like their idea is when you go, like, should I do comedy? And you're like, what's the first step of that even? Now you're like, I'm in a place and they're paying me and my name's on a flyer. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But this, bring up the clip. If you look up what, you probably heard something.
Is it going to be look up Win and a singer?
No.
Look you up, won't find it.
Look up What's Up Denny's.
On YouTube,
seen this clip
I'm
before?
Assuming.
Yeah. What's up? Have you ever seen this clip before?
No, I don't know.
It's
what this is.
A band performing, I guess, Denny's, wherever they're from. Like, lets them rent out a room to, like, do their thing. And just, yeah, listen to what he says. It's so great.
What's up? What's up? What the fuck's up, Denny's?
They're not embarrassed to be here. They told everybody that, they told all their friends, like, I'm going to be at Denny's. We're doing Denny's at midnight on whatever. And they love it. That's great. That's stolen from you. From the business of entertainment.
Yeah.
That is taken away from you.
That is very true.
That's cool.
Actually, it's
honest.
Oh, yeah. God, that reminds me of my first gig that I played with that exact same band. It was a battle
with
of bands.
That band right there? That's
yeah,
amazing.
That, yeah,
what a coincidence.
What the fuck's up, Denny's bands?
Yeah, it was a Wendy's. Yeah, I like that. It was a Wendy's. No, it was when I was, it was a battle of the bands. So, yeah, there were like people there, but like playing on a gym, there's nothing like playing on a gym floor. Like that, I see that and I'm like, I remember playing on a gym floor when I was 16, and I loved it.
I couldn't believe it.
You're
like, yo, it's happening.
Do you clearly remember the first time you got paid for comedy?
Yeah, it was a nightmare.
It was a nightmare?
I started off in the Black Comedy Circus, so the first place I was asked to go was Dangerous. And I thought it was going to go great, went terrible. That was, I said, Kevin Hart offered to walk me to the car.
Oh, really?
Is he going to walk you out? And I was like, what are you going to do? This isn't like famous Kevin Hart. This is like we're both in Philly going, I'm like, what the fuck are you going to do to help me? Like, no, I'm good. And I tried to sneak out the back that didn't exist. I went through a door that put me between walls And then I ended up in the kitchen of the restaurant next door, and I asked them if I could leave through there, please.
$50
to answer that question. $50.
The first time you had sex.
A gentleman never kisses and tells. Oh, I'm going to pass it to Chris.
Well, I was in college, but I'll tell you a funny story about that.
Okay.
So when I moved into my dorm, my parents bought me a television set that had like a built-in the VCR and the DVD player. And I really like Boston. So I had a Boston CD, Boston's Greatest Hits, inside the DVD player. At some party one night, someone got drunk and like crashed into the television set. And whatever they did, they got it stuck so it wouldn't come out.
Okay.
So as my, you know, my girlfriend at the time and I, we would start to have sex or whatever. The only thing that could play music was that thing. And it was always Boston's Greatest Hits. And we dated for a while. And one day I was sitting in a department store and I'm like sitting on the couch and like More Than a Feeling comes on the speaker. And it's like one of Pavlov's dogs. And I just
and
got so
uncomfortable. Everywhere.
I just got so uncomfortable all of a sudden for no reason. I was just like, why? Like that. And I just had to get out of there.
That's funny. I like that story. It's a good
Boston
story.
Rules. My step-pop was super into Boston.
You know, there was a... There was
different reactions to Boston, me and you, but...
There was a...
We also had sex, but
it wasn't voluntary. There was a myth that they had like a hit-making machine in their basement or something. All their songs were so great. There was this theory that he had like figured out a code to write hits. The guitarist.
Tom Scholz.
I've never heard that. Well, I mean, I know that they're like smart dudes, like went to MIT, but...
I mean, he built the equipment that he plays on. You know what I mean? Like,
so that was it. There was like a mythology behind him when I was a kid. They said that he figured out like a mathematical formula on how to write hits or something stupid.
Don't they have like I see on YouTube sometimes where it's like robot writes, you know, script or something like that. And actually, some of them are not awful.
I want to say something funny, by the way. This proves my point. So I'm pointing at you.
Yeah.
My ex-girlfriend, Kathy, is watching the show and she just texts me, why is Jay so mean to you?
Who?
You should have been on the show once. My ex-girlfriend, Kathy, she just texted me. Why is Jay so mean?
Where are you
Ralph's
from?
Give me the finger 14. I've done nothing.
Well, where are you from originally? Here?
Brooklyn.
See,
Brooklyn,
I would think that like this is like the happy Long Island I pick on you because I love you vibe.
No,
I get a lot of love here.
By the way, I love Jay more than anything. Jay's, I think, one of the most...
Well, tell that fucking whore Kathy that.
But, so here's what it is. Just so you know... His fans don't realize that he's joking,
and they do not, and they all shit on me all the time.
Here. Using my fans, those are probably more than anybody else Lewis fans.
You know, one of them said today, which really made me laugh, that Ralph has the worst nose job of all time.
First of all, you have a great nose.
I don't have a nose job. Never had a nose job. And I would admit it. And then someone else said I have to stop dyeing my hair. I've never dyed my. You could see.
No, you get the Steven fucking Tyler.
I got like the Bride of Frankenstein thing happening.
Yeah.
You want to hear something crazy?
You saw a poltergeist.
Like 10 years ago, I saw you at a restaurant.
It was right after they did my show, and I didn't remember.
Yeah, right. No, this is before the band. Right. I saw you at a restaurant on the Upper West Side. There was like 10 people, and we went to see you. And you did like half the show, like. Not picking on me, but like talking to me and like making fun of me.
Was it 10 years ago?
It's like 65th Street. It's like 65th Street or something.
Was it like the West Side Comedy Club?
Yeah, it was something over there, right near the movie theater.
Jay's like, I remember every gig I've ever done.
No, but I say, when he's sitting in a restaurant 10 years ago, there's a place called the West Side Comedy Theater that they put in like the bottom of like a Hawaiian restaurant.
Below like a restaurant.
Thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was very, very bizarre. I played there twice ever. So that's why I said I might remember
making fun of a guy with long hair for 30 minutes.
Let me tell you something. I might, because with that show, I walked off that stage. I was like, yo, I don't do well here. This play, it was not the crowd. Someone I think got upset with me at that show.
Wasn't me. I had a good
time. I don't think it was. I'm saying, I just remember somebody at that show, I feel like got like, was just with people, you know, they're not paying attention. So all they hear is the harsh words and they have no context.
Well, now you know how I feel.
Like, what'd you say?
Now you know how I feel.
I know
how
Kathy feels. Can you get your head out of your ass?
All right, a couple of things. The new album, Perspective, just came out. They're playing Arlene's Grocery October 22nd, Station NYC on Instagram. Anything else you want to plug before we go around the room?
No, thank you so much for having
us. Thanks so much for having us. I mean,
I'll try to remember you guys next time I see you.
Seriously.
Yeah, see you next time. What's your faces? Learn how to be a host.
Mr. One and Mr. Two.
Yeah.
Jay, your plug?
Hey, this guy. Like, you know.
If you're listening live, tomorrow through Saturday, Portland, Oregon, Hilarities. Then in 2 weekends, Cleveland Hilarity, or no, Portland Helium. Cleveland Hilarities at the end of the month. Halloween weekend. I'll be out there, Cleveland, Ohio, at Hilarities. Come check that out. Stress Factory's coming up. I think I'll be in Providence New Year's Eve weekend.
And Skankfest is right around the corner.
Skankfest is coming up November. Yeah, and come check out The Worst. I should promote it better.
Yeah, you know, by the way, I would come to those. I never know until it's too late.
I'm just,
you know,
it was a light crowd yesterday, and I was like, when I came in, I was like, I could fill this place. I'm like, this is me.
Yeah,
like I'm not. I have so much going on. I just forget to promote. Yeah, so come check out The Worst. We do it once a month at the Stand. Check my bigjcomedy.com for all details. Bonfire on SiriusXM Faction Talk 103, Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern. Also available as a podcast, a smaller version of the show. It's available as a podcast every day. And Legion of Skanks right here on the Gas Digital Network. And watch my specials and shit.
Shanoonies?
You can follow me on Instagram at ShannonLee6982 and listen to my podcast, The Thing Is Ding. We talk about bad dates, fighting, and ghosts. We have all sorts of interesting people on, comedians, porn stars, musicians, people from all sorts of walks of life, and they come on to tell stories about their...
Just those three. Comedians, porn stars, magicians.
That's
all three walks of life.
Did she say magicians?
I love a magician to come on the show.
Let's do this.
Wait,
Jay.
I'm not finished.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, sorry.
And they come on and tell their stories about their worst date experiences, street fights they've been in, and experiences with the paranormal.
All right, ready, Jay? Do these guys, don't answer in any way, shape, or form when I say this, believe in ghosts, yes or no?
Where are you from?
I'm from Long Island.
From Long Island?
I'm just from the Northeast. I moved around a lot.
Northeast is a lot, though. You get up to those mains.
Syracuse.
Those people believe in, like, you know, ghost ships.
I'm gonna break the mold and give you my answers. No indications. Yes, no. That's what I'm saying. Don't give any indication.
I think the opposite.
I would go with Ralph's answer before anything, yeah.
All right, guys?
Yeah.
Okay.
And but, no.
Oh, pal, yeah. Bao, yeah. Zoom.
Ralph.
Yeah, sensitive, not singer, like, type.
You know what?
Guitar player don't give a shit. He goes, fuck you. Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck you. Here's
fuck
the bar
you
cord.
And your ghosts.
Yeah. I mean, not like, you know, I wouldn't say like, you know, like I believe more there's paranormal activity.
I mean,
but I wouldn't say like there's a person, you know, like an apparition that, like, you know, a Civil War general is going
to,
like,
I don't know if you could tell by his mustache, but Mike out there died in the Old West. And he haunts this. He was a gold miner.
Right, follow me everywhere at I Am Ralph Sutton and my other podcast that comes out every Monday, Good Trigger Podcast, all about health and wellness.
Juice Man and the Monster.
Juice Man and the Monster. We always add a song of the week every week. I'm going to add Spanish Steps because I really dig that song. Is that
Thank
cool?
You. Thanks, man.
And you're going to Spain.
Yeah, and I'm going to Spain. I'm going to Spain tomorrow.
Tickets for Spanish Steps with a girl has her period. I hope she has it so
bad. Oh, she does, Jay. I'm going to fucking just send you my horse shit.
Hey, Kathy, that's why he's not bringing you to Spain, because you got old. You're defending him.
No wonder why
he's hates
you.
He's a bad person.
No wonder why she hates you. All right, well, see. Wait. Oh, well. Also, Saturday is Theory of a Dead Man. Is that right? Saturday's episode, Theory of a Dead Man. We mentioned them earlier from Canada. And we'll see.
Oh, like
when? We'll see you next week on the STR Show. Peace.
You've been listening to the STR Show.